Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I can tell by the amazingly awesome group of people here with me, it must be Thursday, because that's when I see this specific group of awesome people. And I'm so happy to be here with all of you.
And Fridays, there's no awesome people, so that's why, you know, right?
Yes. Though it is technically Friday in Australia and New Zealand.
True.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that means it's also technically tomorrow in New Zealand. And Patrice, the purple, the nails. Holy crap. I love the purple.
Thank you.
No nail polish on me, but that can change at any moment because I have nieces that mm-hmm. even to this day absolutely love giving me custom paint jobs.
They should.
And I wear them proudly. They are great artists. So anyhow, well, we're here. And Patrice, I've already called out your nails, so how are you?
I'm doing good. It's just a bit crazy at work. Just rushing around last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, however long it's been. Like, I don't even remember. It's budget phase. So, like, I spent until, like, 6:30 in budget discussions and then rushed to the store. And the store was already closed because Austria. And then rushed back here and had, like, quick, like, small, like, 10-minute dinner. Nothing major, and then rush to, like, get ready for the show. So wasn't that lot.
That's
so I'm good.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out, and you're here.
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Yeah.
I have no story prepared. I had no time to even look at news stories, but I hope, like, once we're done with the others, I will have one.
You know,
not we'll skip it.
Yeah. The way I see it, the important thing is that we show up. And exactly. And act like we have something to say, and then we show people something cool and we leave.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, that works.
Since when are we ever prepared?
That's fair.
Well, I'm usually prepared. I usually have at least 6 or 7 news stories prepared that I can pick from.
Yeah.
So that's me.
That's because you're professional.
We're corrupting you, Patrice.
No, I've always been that. I mean, even Deconstruct and, like, the others, I was always prepared.
Yeah. I didn't have to do much.
That's why.
Patrice, you're a professional and a role model.
Aww.
And a positive role model. Just wanted to make that clear.
I'll take any positive, negative. I'm fine with either. Like,
Therese, positive role model on the catwalk.
Speaking of on the catwalk, Ben, how are you?
Oh yes,
I am fantastic.
You look fantastic.
Suited and booted.
Yeah, damn right I do.
Hold on 1 second. Cat, stop.
Someone other than
Patrice has to make the show look good.
That's so true.
It's wearing hoodies.
So are you going to the court? So is it a court case?
No, he's going.
Or interview.
Like, he's going to be no. He's going to be a senator, right? That's what's happening.
I know I'm too competent to be one.
This is true.
Yes, you're right.
You're too competent and you're too honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah.
Also, you have morals and a conscience.
Yeah, yeah. You're not qualified for this sort of madness.
Disqualified. Yeah, no way. Yeah.
Disqualified for many grounds of.
So you can still run for the, like, whatever local something.
No, that's even worse. That's even worse. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
I can be the local
last president?
Warlord?
I don't know.
Yes, you can be the local warlord. Ben, the great thing is you don't have to run for the position. You just declare yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your minions will fall in line and take care of the rest. And it will be glorious. Mm-hmm. King Ben of Iowa.
Yes.
I love that. And we have a show title.
King Ben of Iowa. I thought maybe you'd be going to the funeral for the Chicago Bears, Ben.
That happened the day Papa Bear died.
That's been a long time.
I know what the Chicago Bears are, so at least I got that much.
We'll make you an idea here as well.
Yeah. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And Patrice, one of the things I love about being retired is I don't have 10-minute dinners anymore.
Yes.
It's one of the things I don't miss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, now you can spend 3 hours, like from 4 to 7 p.m., not a problem. Like,
right, yeah.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just kick back, have a nice, relaxing dinner. If it's a nice evening, out on the porch.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in your rocking chair.
Yeah, well, see, Tom's in California, so any chair can be a rocking chair once the tectonic plates shift.
He can rock at any time, that's true.
Yeah. Sometimes they're sliding chairs if they have wheels, though. That's a problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see where that would be an issue. Yep. And Ian, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm coming finally to the end of a load of planning for a conference. Next week, I will be back for the show, though, but next week and Monday, Tuesday, I'll be in Istanbul.
Oh, wow.
I'll be in Istanbul. Nice. So, yeah,
You're going intercontinental.
Indeed. Yeah. We'll be over there with a... We've got... if you follow me on LinkedIn, you'll start seeing pictures of me doing stupid... standing up on stage and doing stupidity. Because we're presenting a product update brief for our engineers, so... And they're fielding questions and doing all sorts of stuff. It'll be great fun anyway. So all is good. All is good. So awesome. Yes, I've got a pack and all those other kind of madnesses to get ready to travel.
Awesome.
Find my passport. I know where that is. That's all right. And all the other kind of fun things that involve top tip I've learned now I've got old and slightly more money in my pocket. Always, always pay for fast passes through.
Mm-hmm.
Security and passport control, always if they offer them.
Yes,
I just don't have the patience anymore to stand behind people that turn up at the security and then they have to fish out all the stuff.
Well, usually me, but it's still less stressful because there's less people.
That's true.
It's like traveling in IT. You have like two laptops, an iPad, three phones. Yeah. It's like, so it takes a while.
It takes time. Yeah, I mean, it's a process.
The thing for me is traveling like this is not so much those things. That's fine, laptops and what have you. I've walked down a queue where there's been, when I'm in the ones where I can't get away from the unwashed morons, is I walk down this queue where on either side, there are big signs telling me, get out your bag full of all your toiletries, mm-hmm. get all your digital devices out now.
Yeah,
and they all mooch along doing none of these things, and they get to the end, and then they have to do it, and then they make it slower to get on the conveyor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stuff still goes through that ended up goes to security. I mean, it's better than it used to be. Any bag full of wires doesn't get the same treatment it used to get. They all look like it used to be a bomb years ago. Now they just know it's a bag full of all your adapters and things. Mm-hmm. So that's improved. But yes.
In Frankfurt, they've started doing the, like, don't take anything out thing. Like, they have a new system, so they don't need that anymore.
Well, so what Manchester do this week when I go.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it should be. There's no need to take everything out. And I have TSA pre-check, which means that I go through the line at the airport where I don't have to take my shoes off because it's absolutely ridiculous. Nothing comes out of my bag because that's absolutely ridiculous. It all goes through the system. I go through a metal detector, not a cancer delivery box. And
millimeter wave.
Yeah.
New one is.
And out the other side, grab my stuff, and I'm on my way.
We don't have that.
We don't have that. I pay for that. I would pay for that. Genuinely. Yep. If the amount of traveling I'm starting to do, I'd pay for that happily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, like sometimes the fast pass or whatever it's called, that one is kind of that because they like use less security for that.
Yeah. And we all know it's security theater anyway.
Yeah, oh, yes. For sure. Right. Like 100%.
Yes, yeah. It is. Speaking of theater, Ian, looks like you have the first story in. I'm seeing in the URL, I think theater's probably the appropriate transition here.
It's a drama. Right.
It's a drama and a take up from the usual. It's amusing, to be fair. Twitter has been renamed X, as we all know, by our good friend Elon Musk, from his bat cave underneath a volcano somewhere in the Pacific. But as a consequence of this, other companies that had the name X have decided, particularly one here, there's a company called X Social Media who do lots of promotion for advocates and lawyers and things, and they've been doing it for a lot of years. So obviously Elon wasn't the first one to pick X, and so quite rightly they're taking him to they're taking him to court. They're trying to get some three times. I think it's, what was he going for? They're asking for damage equivalent to three times of its losses. For the defendant, all the defendant's profits since the change.
That's a standard.
Is that a standard thing for one? I'm not entirely familiar with what those kind of things are.
Yeah, that's just how it works in the U.S.
To be fair,
ask for. Yeah, it's actually codified. You go for
anyone who calls their business X. It's not the most original thing in all the world, is it? To be honest,
it's the most childish thing anyway. So
it's
on brand.
I mean, does it almost come to the point where no one should be able to claim copyright over that particular thing and just be, no, you can't have any of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It becomes a point.
Technically, you can have a copyright on like your logo. If it's actually something that you didn't steal from someone else.
Well, this is actually a trademark, though, right? It's not copyright. And trademark is...
Yeah, that's what I meant. Trademark, not copyright, yeah.
Trademark depends on the domain. You can have two companies with the same name, theoretically, as long as they don't overlap significantly in business in the eyes of the trademark office.
But you cannot trademark certain things. It's the same thing, like... It has to be unique enough. Like an X as a letter is not as a word. Right. Trademark is not enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. The U.S. trademark situation is very, very odd. I mean, I'll give you an example. Anyway. for the purpose of audio, I'm holding up a watch strap here. This is called a NATO strap. It was designed by NATO to hold military watches on your wrist so it doesn't fall off. There's a jackass in the States somewhere that's actually trademarked the term NATO strap, NATO, even though it's the name of the World North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And anyone who posts an advert of this item gets a cease and desist from him because he owns the copyright, or he wants a share of your royalties. And he has no shop. And the more amusing thing is there's no shop. There's no means for you to buy one directly from the trademark holder, which is even more crackers. So, I mean, that just gives you the level of crackers, this stuff. Trademarks are a very, very weird whole game. So God knows. I mean, as far as I'm concerned with this X thing, hopefully it will come. I presume the US media is exactly the same as it is over here in the UK. When anyone ever talks about X, they say, formerly known to Twitter. For God's sake. I mean, if no one's going to call it X, why bother? Just go back to calling it Twitter and be done with the job.
Well, because there is a child who owns it.
Well, we know a child who owns it.
He's a branding genius.
Under his mountain.
I just don't realize he's a branding genius.
Yeah, I mean, I seriously doubt there was any due diligence that was performed on the name change.
Of course not.
No due diligence, no preparation, nothing. Like, no. Just decided.
I want to call it X. Make it happen. And that's what I've been
asking. Exactly.
It's a name that Elon's wanted to use for a company for a long time.
He announces it already before anybody in the company has even had the time to make anything happen.
Oh, yeah. God, I bet his management team love him. He'd be running around about, what's he done now? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
I fired him all except for what's the PC term for Lapdog.
Lapdog.
There you go. Lapdog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can think of more NPC terms than that for that particular type of individual. Yeah,
the CEO in name only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But, I mean, when
it's like that one Russian president once, right? Medvedev.
Yeah.
When Elon does something, he does it because he wants to do it, mm-hmm. not because it makes business sense. Because the change from Twitter to X most likely costs the branding billions.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
You can basically kiss Twitter goodbye because, like, whatever you invested in that is gone. And then, I mean, changing everything to X cost them probably not billions, but at least hundreds of millions to change it everywhere. Like,
yep. And getting rid of, say, news headlines because he just wants to do it, is also going to make things, one of the few business types that is left on Twitter, less desirable.
He does have a solid track record, though. It's like the anti-Midas touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything he touched turns to something.
Whatever a reasonable person would do, do the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, he has turned everything he touches into the emoji you get back if you email his company's PR.
No, I think they shut that down. No, it doesn't respond at all, I think.
Well, it's probably still supposed to do that, but the person that set up the script doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, the script broke and nobody knows how to fix it. That's probably why.
I mean, when I read the story, I actually think this person has a legitimate claim. Yeah, the company's called X Social Media.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. He's been. They've been called that for years as well. It's not new. It's not even.
It's a legitimate business. They've been using it,
and they've been trading for about. I mean, 2016. So yeah, they've been trading sort of six, 7 years. So it's not like it's a fly by night trying to make a buck out of the back of what Elon's doing already. It's a genuine business. Mm-hmm. Good luck to him, I say. Hope they get a big couple of quid out of him. The idiot.
Yeah, but honestly, I don't think he would mind if he got a negative judgment on this. Number one, he doesn't pay people.
Cool.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't pay for anything currently.
Yeah. And two, for him, it's the price of doing business like a 4-year-old would.
Yeah,
a spoiled 4-year-old.
Fully expects to pay for it. Like he's like, I don't care. Like he probably has rich enough Saudi friends that would just pay for it.
Yeah,
well, that's how he got from $44 billion to $8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Moves like this.
Yeah,
he's a genius, though. Just remember, he's a genius. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Just Tom. The important thing is blaze your glory.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, well, no man in history has lost as much money as him. That takes talent.
Yeah. To get that to perfection.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, if he has proven one thing, it is that there is no such thing as bad publicity. He uses bad publicity to his benefit, like very clearly. And I think that's probably the one skill he has.
Kind of, except I think even the Tesla brand has taken a hit. Because of the craziness, you know, I think it obviously people still love their Teslas.
I
think there's a lot more hesitation to buy Teslas, especially as alternatives are popping up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are many alternatives now that you don't need to be on any
better alternatives,
right? Yeah. Yes, better alternatives.
Better.
Yep, well, you know, blaze your glory.
Though I do have to say, the NACS plug. Is turning out to be a good business move for Tesla.
Yeah, but that didn't you know that wasn't him? Like that existed from the company that he bought. Like,
yeah, that was someone else's design.
I mean, back then there was nothing really. So
So yes, that is working out in Tesla's favor, despite Elon Musk.
Yeah, we should say despite.
Generally, things are in spite of rather than because of.
I saw somebody speculate that ultimately, with all the competition with electric vehicles now, what if, can you imagine a world 10 years from now where Tesla's main business is charger network, plug. Not cars? Yes.
Plug and charging. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
And it'd be a very successful business.
Yeah.
Because that company has been as successful in infrastructure as it has been in vehicles.
And what that tells me is that the handler system for Elon is still working well at Tesla.
Keeping him away from all the big decisions.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably very busy with other things currently, so he's not showing up anyway.
Yeah. That much, if I worked at SpaceX or Tesla, I'd be so happy that Elon bought Twitter.
Found a new toy.
Yeah.
Keep himself busy while he goes.
Though with SpaceX, they might not be that happy because he's currently under a bit of a national security review.
There is that. Yeah. Also, he doesn't know how to wear a cowboy hat.
Yeah, that was funny.
He does. If it's a crisscross cowboy hat.
Okay. Yeah. Really, bless his heart. Yeah. All right, Ben. Yeah,
I think we should jump to the next story.
Yeah, you're reading my mind. So, Ben, tell us about your story, please.
I thought Tom was first in his quantum day.
You're right. Dots. Tom is first.
What, am I invisible today?
No, I'm just having issues with my cue logic today. Sorry about that.
Speaking of cue logic.
Here's my cue logic.
Yeah, and see, yours is working better than mine. All right, Tom, tell us about your story, because I'd rather hear about that than Ben's story right now.
My story is about the three people that won the Nobel Prize in chemistry this past week, and it has to do with quantum dots. And there's no way in heck that I'm going to try to explain simply what their discovery was, but basically it's quantum behavior of very, very small particles. But there are two things about this story that I like. One is it's the typical Nobel Prize story where, you know, the work started in the 1960s and 70s, and, you know, there were kind of advancements, and then nothing happened for a few years, but the people kept working on it. And these people have been had worked on this stuff since the late 70s. It's really amazing. So it's always fun to read how persistent they are and how their scientific breakthrough gets to something that touches average consumers. And in this case, you know, I remember when the what did they call them? QLED TVs, I think, first started coming out. And I didn't understand what the technology or the science behind it was. I honestly thought it was a marketing gimmick. But in fact, you know, this discovery directly led to having TVs that have, you know, better color gamut, you know, brighter colors, you know, all sorts of benefits.
And lower energy as well, according to the article. So it's even better, you know, it's do more with less, rely on that. That's always good.
I think it's definitely lower than OLEDs. And it has a lot of the benefits of OLEDs, not 100%, but it's definitely cheaper, lower power, as Ian said. I think it was fantastic, but I love the persistence in these scientists that worked on this stuff for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
There's a quote in that article that's quite nice. He said, it's really nice that we got it after 4 years of work. I got the poor man out of bed. They got the poor man out of bed to tell him.
Yeah, that's the other thing I like about the Nobel Prize.
Oh, was asleep in the phone, right?
The people in North America. Right, they get woken up and they always think it's a it's a joke, you know. They don't really think it's true.
Yeah, which I think is incredibly funny. Middle of the night call. Hey, you won the Nobel Prize. Yeah. Ha ha. Click.
There was one of the recipients for the Nobel Prize in physics is from Austria, and or he's in Germany now, but he was from Austria originally. Mm-hmm. And like he told that story. He got that call and he was like, yeah, that's funny. It's a prank. Like he didn't believe it.
Yes. Yeah. They think it's the equivalent of, hey, is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was like getting ready for some like really important presentation like that morning. It wasn't, I mean, even in the mindset to like that anything like this could happen. Didn't even expect it at all. So, yeah.
Well, they don't give them any kind of hint, right? They don't say, people are up for it. It just happens, right?
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, sometimes there might be some rumors or some people might maybe have an idea would be likely. But I mean, the research goes on for so many, I mean, years and decades sometimes that I mean, you don't know.
Yeah, it's not like the Academy Awards where they list all the nominees.
Yeah, and where you know, okay, it's out of, and where you know, okay, it's out of the pool of last year's movies. Like, you know what the period is. Like, I mean, you could have discovered something 40 years ago and all of a sudden, like, you get a Nobel Prize for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to be totally ignorant here for a moment, and I'm okay with that because I don't think I've put on any pretenses ever of knowing anything. So in this article, they keep talking about the QLED this technology for televisions. Is this being used in desktop displays, laptop displays, mobile devices? Because if you can have better color and potentially high resolution and lower energy consumption, this seems like a technology you would want in mobile devices.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I don't know.
So I'm not as ignorant as I thought.
Right. I mean, you're right. I think we talk about micro LEDs coming or even OLED screens on computing devices, but you never hear anybody talk about QLED. That's a really good question.
I mean, it seems like a logical use of the technology.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep, there is one. There's a Dell. Came out last year. One of their thinnest laptops, one of the Alienware line. Using quantum dot OLED gaming monitor. Yeah, it's there.
Okay.
QVOLED is the branding that the Alienware does. Is
they call it QVOLED
that tech in it.
Okay. Well, there we go.
It might be one of those things where they've only been able to make it at a TV scale and an affordable price up to that point.
Oh, yeah, this monitor is $1,200.
Yeah. It won't be a cheap device.
The cost is clearly...
that it had to be.
All right.
Okay, so price comes down, then we'll see it in our smartphones.
In the year 4027.
Great. Well, our species will be extinct.
Yeah. I mean, we're lucky if we make it to the 2030s. So.
Yeah, sad but true. Oh, yeah. All right. How about on a happier note? Ben, tell us about your story, because now I do want to hear about it.
Okay. We are literally going from pixels to pixels.
Well, that's an easy transition.
Yeah.
It's like we had planned this or something.
Which we don't. We don't plan anything here. But somehow this flew completely under the radar to the point where I didn't even know this was going on until stuff was announced yesterday. Google has released its annual Pixel event. It announced were the Pixel 8 Pro, the Pixel Watch 2, the earbuds, and the availability on Pixel devices of Android 14. It looks like you have a both of the phones are powered by Google's customized Tensor G3 chip. It's 6.2 inches on the Pixel, 6.7 inches on the Pixel Pro. Gee, that sounds familiar.
It's almost exactly the same as an iPhone.
Yeah. Yep. Both of them are 120 hertz. The Pixel Pro is variable refresh rate.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But here's something that should found what the part that I found the most intriguing, because it is something decidedly on Android. Google will be offering up to 7 years of OS updates on these phones. That's
really good.
That's the best feature.
Yeah, I agree.
Is really good.
I mean, to be honest, if Google would have done this 10 years ago, most likely I would be rocking an Android phone.
Yeah, there's a high likelihood we all would.
I mean, I think 10 years ago they didn't have a phone at all. So,
well, I mean, there was a precursor to the Pixel.
There were a whole range, weren't there? They got some HTCs in early on.
Because the current brands. Pixel line is basically Google buying the HTC phone division.
Mm.
But before that, there were like Google Edition phones that were made by other manufacturers, but supported by, I do say supported like this with early Android devices, because nobody wanted to ever update them, including Google. But they seem like very good devices that if you're in the Android ecosystem, this is probably what you should be looking at.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. At this point, I'm feeling like for most people, if you're in the Android space, you look at Samsung and Google for your phone. At least that's what it looks like I'm seeing most.
Yeah,
and there's also what's the OnePlus is another one that a few people I know are all buying. Were buying at one point because they were really good, value for money kind of thing.
If you look at the reviews, like the tech reviews and like the people who challenge their phones more on the Android side, it's those two. It's either Google Pixel or it's Samsung.
Yeah, plus OnePlus and their parent company Oppo tend to be they're on a forked version of Android.
Yeah.
Google will offer the purest form, while Samsung will offer their own customizations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be the closest thing to an Apple experience in the Android ecosystem.
Yeah. If anything, if I go to an Android device, I think a Pixel would be where I'd head, just because I don't want to get someone else's layer slapped on top of Android. I played around with them over the years, and I've always found that the layer on top has never been that satisfying, in all honesty. Except for maybe Sony's one. I always like Sony's, but I think probably I'd...
You would be very disappointed. Like a friend of mine, she got the Sony because she loved Sony, and she takes all the photos, and she's like so disappointed with it.
Oh, it's a shame, because they used to have in the feature phone space back in the day. They they pioneered getting Zeiss cameras into their devices. Yeah. They had really good. It was better. It was better than a proper digital camera I had one time. Mm-hmm. I had one that was really, really great. And even my last Androids that I had were the Xperia range were really good devices. So yeah, now I'd probably opt for the Pixel and then neutral mm-hmm. as much as I could to stop it keep telling me about Google tells things. That's the downside.
The Pixel hardware last couple of years has looked great, but it's the OS mm-hmm. support that always gets me. So how did the question for me is how did Google actually word their statement about OS support? I'm always worried about Google 3 years from now saying, well, we decided that wasn't going to work.
I think it's fair to worry about Google changing their Mom. Promise even months in the future as opposed to years. But yeah, I would love to know what the exact wording was. I mean, if it's full support, regular software updates, new features, all of that, as opposed to we'll roll out the occasional security update.
Even security updates would be a move forward for Google, you know?
Mm-hmm. okay, that's fair. Yeah.
But I think there's one big reason for this. Google is an advertising company. Their advertising is going to another feature that they are rolling out, which is merging Assistant with Bard. So it's in their definite benefit that... everyone is updated to a version of Android of which this new assistant is compatible.
Right. Well, that's the benefit for the company with the OS updates that Google never seemed to get, which Apple clearly understands. If you're not updating mm-hmm. phones, you never, you know, get to build your product portfolio in this way. Maybe somebody at Google has finally figured that out.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a real big paradigm shift in a while in search. This is, or what people are calling generative AI, which really isn't, is that shift. To be competitive, they have to have it, or people might end up using Microsoft's Bing or ChatGPT infused Bing.
Yeah, the competition is certainly pushing them. I just think in general, they have so many assets, technology assets, that they never seem to pull together in any coherent way, you know? Well, seems like, you know, 20 silos working separate from each other.
That's basically what happens. Like that. The way Google is structured for advancement within the company, it's innovating, creating the next new interesting thing.
And then moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the value for an employee is creating the new thing that gets you the recognition, that gets you the promotion, the pay raise, whatever it is. But there's no reward for the long-term maintenance of whatever it is. So you get this churn of products or features that are really innovative, but then get dropped because there's no one that has the interest to maintain those things because there's no value for the employees to do so.
Yeah, revenue growth can be a good goal for some public companies who are profit-driven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they just get, we've probably talked about this a million times, they just get so blinded by the money-making machine, you know, the advertising money-making machine, their internal business practices are not always that great.
I'm going to use that as a totally awesome transition. speaking of money-making machines, Patrice, tell us about your story.
Okay. So that's probably something. Oh, yeah. So my story is, I mean, is it a tech story? I don't know. But there's, I think, a large, very, very, very large overlap in the Venn diagram between tech and between Star Trek, Patrick Stewart specifically. I think most people know, in the tech industry, I think that most people know and love him. So Ian got skipped. I don't know. So yeah, it's like he has released a new book, a memoir. I mean, he's like, how old is he? 87 or something like that.
Yeah, he's in his 80s now. I can't. I would like. I must admit, I think I might. Yeah. I might well buy this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the title is I think Make It So.
Yeah, Making It So.
Making It So. Yeah, I misremember that one. So Making It So. I've ordered it on Audible. He reads it, so that's going to be really cool.
Oh, in that case, that's where I'm getting mine from.
Yes, from what I've heard, I mean, is it super surprising? I don't think so. But, I mean, books like these rarely are. This is not about, oh, we have never heard about this before. I mean, he's been in the public eye for so long that, yeah, I mean, it's like, we know it. And then he's British. Like, I mean, he doesn't talk about stuff. Like,
I mean, he tells his stories, and the one, I mean, I think you'll get the ones that we've all heard.
Yeah, but you get, you know, I mean, some things. You get some things that, in some perspectives on things that you might not have heard. It is in some, like, in some form reflective for sure. He knows that he only has a couple of years. The article I linked to is from Wired, where like they have also a really nice interview with him. So yeah, it's just I just a cool book, and I'm a big fan of his work and of him as a person. I think he's, I mean, from what we see at least publicly, he seems to be a really nice person. He cares deeply for dogs, specifically. Bulldogs, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Yorkshireman. He's from Huddersfield. He's from my part of the world.
Yeah.
And like, he's also, over lockdown, he was doing readings of Shakespeare. Uh-huh. I think it was a cool thing. I might have had it.
Yeah, at one point. He started doing that just randomly.
And it's just a nice thing, you know. That's great.
Yeah. So, as I said, he also seems to have a really nice wife. So, I mean, third wife, I think. I mean, he's 87, so like, stuff happens. Life.
Right. Yeah. My disappointment with this is only that when the announcement came out that Patrick Stewart was going to be doing a reading at Boulder Bookstore, I wasn't able to get tickets in time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was sold out right away.
Probably. Yeah. Like, I got the email saying, hey, this is happening. And so I just clicked the sign up thing, and it was already sold out.
Mm. Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a really cool experience, I can imagine.
I agree. I think it would have been a really cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So, short story. We don't have to talk too much about it. It's just something that I think is interesting for most of us, since I mean quite a lot of us have grown up with him basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about like how old he was when he was on the show.
Yeah, like, I mean he's been 83. He's been 83 since the '80s.
Yeah, pretty much.
He Will Wheaton is older now than Patrick Stewart was when they started filming Next Generation.
That is crazy.
That's really crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. I mean, Will Wheaton refers to himself as an old man, and that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it says a lot to someone when I mean, everybody knows that Shatner got kind of a big head and kind of fought with some of his co-stars as they got older. The TNG cast still literally hangs out together.
Yeah. They're really close friends to this day, all of them. Like,
They are. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite Will Wheaton stories is like when, like the time when he went over to Shatner, and Shatner kind of like tore him down, It's like your shit and stuff. And and both Patrick Stewart and crap, what's his name?
Wasn't it Jonathan Frakes?
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes. They basically both said, fuck him. Yeah, they were like on his side, and then Gene Roddenberry kind of heard of it and then had Shatner apologize to him.
Yes. Roddenberry gave Shatner a dress down and made him go apologize. Yeah. I think he even had to do a written apology.
Yeah, written. Like that was the thing. So
yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite stories, like to this day. I think it was like 14, I think, at that point. So like a kid.
Yeah, he was a kid that wanted to meet one of his idols, and he did, and it was a crap experience. And then he learned who his real idols should be.
Yeah, for months worked up the courage to even go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, Ian's story.
Ian's story.
I have my story.
Twitter, right? I have my story with X. Oh. Right at the top of the show.
Right. You were first.
Oh
that's right. So, Ben, you had me feeling bad about Ian for no cause.
I threw in another link to a repairability matrix for phones. Ah. Just quite an interesting. It was an interesting link. I thought I'd chuck it in the chat because when Patrice tells us about how we can access the chat, people can go and have a look at it.
You know, that just shows us how memorable Twitter and X are, because we talked about X only a few minutes ago and already forgot, which is completely different than TSO Host, which is so easy to remember. I'm sorry, Ben, did I just take what you were trying to do?
No, I was going to say, do you know who isn't run crappily?
That would also be TSO Host. That's right. Yeah. I like how you think, Ben. So here's the deal. We're waxing poetic about TSO Host because they are a web hosting company that is super cool and super generous. And the way they're showing that is by helping us out. They're giving us web hosting space so that there's a place for the website. They're giving us server space so we can have the recordings for the shows all together, so that you can go and watch or listen to your favorite episodes whenever you want. And they're giving us the bandwidth we need so that we can live stream to you multiple shows every single week. Without their help, we would not be able to do what we do. The resources are, I don't want to say staggering, but they kind of are. The resources that you need to do what we are doing, it takes a lot. So without their generous support, by providing us with those things, we would not be able to have the British Tech Network, simple as that. So we really, really appreciate what they're doing. Now, I'm saying it, you can say it too, but since you're not on a mic on the show right now, just use social media instead. Hop on to your favorite social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Easy to do, only takes a minute, and totally worth it because we should just take a minute and thank them for their generous support. So thank you, TSO Host. All right. And then let's say, though, that you have a brilliant idea for a domain name, like bensharpties.com. Yeah. and so you're like, I need to buy this domain. Use TSO Host because it makes it super easy and it's affordable. And add it to your cart. Now, if you've decided, you know, the domain's so awesome, I need to do a website where I take a screenshot of every big show and every Mac show that Ben is on to highlight all of his different ties. Actually, I'm kind of loving this idea. Add a hosting package to your cart there on TSO Host. So now you've got the domain name for Ben's Ties. You've got the hosting package. You can have a website for it as well. Then add the discount code BTN20 and you'll get 20% off your order. Totally worth it. Amazing deal and super generous. So thank you, TSO Host, for doing that. And for all of our BTN family, and thank you for supporting us that we can bring shows to the whole BTN fam every single week. So thank you. And Patrice, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to tell people about the chat, please. Yeah.
And I'll keep it quick and short today because we're running a little bit short on time. We have a really awesome chat room, which you can join if you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com whenever we're recording, which is Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, and Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Check our social media and our website for sometimes updated show times. And if you are listening to this in the recorded form, you can't join the live chat. Do not worry. We do have a little bot in our chat that records everything, puts up the chat transcript on our website, which you can also get to if you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then select our recording date, which is the 5th of October, 2023.
Awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. So I'm going to do a group cool thing today because we're kind of out of time. That's on me. I have a cramped schedule. And Ben, it's like you're reading my mind. Our group cool thing is you. Ben, you are awesome. Yes. You look sharp every single week. And you always have great things to add to the show. So thank you. Mr. Cool Thing of the Week. Yeah. All right. So with that, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. You can find out everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related memories and stories, then head over to foodieflashback.com, where you can find my podcast.
Awesome. And cool thing of the week, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at Ben Rithig on your social media of choice, including the Unholy Network that changes its name weekly. You can find me at Ben Rithig on social media. Thursdays, In Touch with iOS. Tuesdays, Mac Voices. Thursday and Friday here.
Awesome. And Tom, where can people find you?
Well, it's kind of a long story. Let me tell you, Jeff.
Kidding. It's been great. Ian, where can people find you? No, Tom.
You can find me at TomF at sfba.social on Mastodon. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. All right, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me in the Slack room and from Saturday at Turkey. I'll be on stage at the BeamTech Summit.
Awesome. All right. So for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias, look for me now, mostly on Mastodon and Instagram, and then shows Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live, Thursdays, In Touch with iOS, Thursdays, The Big Show, Fridays, The Mac Show. Also, The Context Machine. Boom. How's that for cranking through stuff really fast? And with that, thank you so much, all of you. You are awesome. And thank you for being flexible enough to work with my unexpectedly tight schedule today. You are all awesome. Everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the chat, thank you for being here. You are all awesome. So happy you're here. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, I am so glad you're part of the BTN family as well. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Also, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for the shows every week. And let's see, join us next Thursday for the Big Show again. Join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. And everyone have a great weekend. Also, Ben, I think you have the right way to wrap up the show.
Computer and program.
Yes.